Madam President.
Senator from New Jersey.
I am so excited. This is perhaps the highlight of this long and painful and torturous night. This is a gift. If it wasn't complete abdication of Senate procedures and esteem, I would walk over there and hug my colleague from Alabama. And I will tell you right now, thank God, because there's some people who have said that they're members of this deliberative body that want to defund the police, to my horror. And now this senator has given us the gift that finally, once and for all, we can put to bed this scurrilous accusation that somebody in this great esteemed body would want to defund the police. So let all of us, 100 people, not walk, but sashay down there and vote for this amendment and put to rest the lies. And I am sure I will see no political ads attacking anybody here over defund the police. And I would ask unanimous consent to add something else to this obvious bill. Can we add also that every senator here wants to defund the police, believes in God, country, and apple pie? Thank you.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. So there's a lot to get into there, but welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Black Board Collective Presents Justice and Justice. I feel like our juice was a little sad today. We are again a leg down, you guys. We can't get all our legs together. Yeah. We really can't. Shout out to Alaska
Music. Our legs keep getting sick.
Yeah, I know. Shout out to Alaska Music fighting a cold, which I think we're all kind of fighting something. You know, like nobody is exactly 100%. But guess what? We are present for who?
Yeah.
You. So.
You.
I am.
Fighting colds, fighting demons. You know, we fighting.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Who am I? Casey. I feel like I have to ask everything in question form today to get it out. Who am I? Where are we? Who am I? I am Casey. What am I drinking? It is coffee. It is water. It is a breakfast smoothie. I am drinking my trifecta.
Absolutely.
I was going to be more fun and drink alcohol today, but then I wasn't feeling well, so I was like, that'd be dumb. So I didn't do that.
That'd be dumb to do.
Yeah.
I love that for you. I love that very responsible choice.
Oh.
What's up, everyone? It's me. I am drinking coffee and water because I also am kind of under the weather. So, you know, but more like emotionally under the weather. I'm like feeling fine. I think I'm just having like a weird, like, I don't know, like my birthday is coming up. I always get weird around my birthdays. You know, just and like moving is tiring, everything. And I've like worked a lot, so I'm just tired. There's just like, you know, but I've got my coffee. I have my it's in a make it happen mug.
Girl.
So this mug's talking to me and I'm going to do it. You know,
make it happen. Also, you just had a housewarming party this past weekend. So that's really exciting.
I did have a housewarming party. It was very fun. We got lots of succulents and we love that.
That's really
sweet. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wiz, what you doing?
I'm good. Just drinking water, a little bit phlegmy, but otherwise good. You know, just another day in paradise.
Another dollar.
Huh? Right? It's still summer for some people.
Yeah, it's still summer. It's still summer until like September.
It is getting dark earlier. Correctly. That's the sign that summer is coming to a close. But you know what? I feel like I've still had a good one despite all of the fraternity of Corona and their efforts.
They really coming through. They have like a whole Greek life.
A whole Greek life of COVID. Like truly trying to just take over the campus that is the world.
They are taking over world campus, which is also what my school is called, which is scary and stressful.
Oh my god. When I heard that there was a Delta Plus, I was like, that's not real. And then I heard there's also a Lambda. There's an Epsilon and a Lambda, and I was like, all right, COVID Greek life. Let's stop.
COVID Greek life.
I'm not entertained.
Greek life.
No, I don't want to come to your party
anymore.
Like,
no, I don't want to come to your party. Frat parties, I don't do that anymore. Thank you.
No, I'm past it. So you can actually.
I'm past the frat parties. I actually haven't been to one since I was 17. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the invite, but no thanks.
No, I mean, you
know. And may I just say, like, even though we all haven't been feeling well, we all got tested for COVID and negative tests all around. So there you go. Plus Ada
so far.
Epsilon.
So far. Yes. Yeah,
that's
so
not
far,
the attitude. It's not that. Great. Paige, can you tell us about our, oh, I didn't tell you to pull this up, but I'm sure you're ready with the Black business, which is LA Ice. And it is awesome. And we all have to go there before summer ends.
Yes.
And I'm just going to keep saying and until you are ready to tell us more.
I love shaved ice. And I also love sorbet. And I also love vegan versions of ice cream. And I feel like it's just like a great, we're living in like the best decade ever for vegan frozen treats.
We are.
Well, it's so interesting you would say that, Zach, because I have a business for you.
Wait, really?
Happy Ice, my friend.
Wait, is it local for me in Los Angeles?
It's local for you in Los Angeles. Are you looking for a fun end of summer treat? Then you should check out Happy Ice. Happy Ice is an ultra premium water ice product made from a secret recipe from Philadelphia with an artistic LA twist. It has the smooth, rich, creamy texture of an ice cream and the light, fruity refreshment of a sorbet without egg or dairy products of any kind. The resulting combination is an incredibly delicious and vibrant explosion of colors and flavors that brings happiness to any situation. It's also vegan friendly and contains no nut products, so nearly everyone can enjoy the incredible experience of Happy Ice. Go get your Happy Ice. Happy Ice, happy life. Dun, dun, dun. And that's the Black business, my friend.
Thank you so much. That was lovely.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Great. So let's hop back into what we were talking about.
let's jump back. Yeah.
I have confusion. So what I'm going to say is just the things that I know about what you heard. So what you heard was what's his name? Tuberville?
Tommy. Yep.
Tuberville.
Yes, Senator Tommy Tuberville, who is a Republican senator Alabama. From Alabama. Mm-hmm.
An ex-football coach with no political experience whatsoever and a complete moron.
I mean, he's a Republican, so that's the resume. Those are the requirements. He was proposing an amendment to withhold federal funds from localities that defund their police. And the Democrats,
non-binding, Casey, non-binding.
I know. We are going to get into that.
Wait, what?
Okay.
She's just giving the facts. Relax.
Okay.
It is a fact.
She's giving an overview.
So, what
does that mean?
So, okay. I'm just going to read what's here.
Okay.
So Republican Senate Democrats on Tuesday night and Wednesday morning repeatedly voted to pass Republican bills penalizing localities that defund the police, preventing the implementation of the Green New Deal. That's something I want to ask questions about and more. But the legislation was all non-binding, allowing Democrats to dodge messaging bullets without real policy consequences. So exactly. It makes that sentence. Helps me make a little bit more sense of what we heard at the beginning of the show with Cory Booker being like, obviously very tongue in cheek about his response to this, like obviously very sarcastic, but in a way that I just didn't understand. I was just like, but wait, you actually are voting for it. So I'm confused. Do I not know how sarcasm works? Because usually you would give that speech and then still vote against it if you're being sarcastic. But in this case, he didn't. And I was like, I'm missing something. So when I read that it was non-binding, I was like, oh, I get it. Because which Zach, maybe you have more insight on this, but it was like, oh, it sounds like we can vote for this so that I'm here in a public arena saying the things that you guys have been saying that we won't say. So I can be on record as saying these things, but I can still have the same politics as I had before, because everything that we're voting on here is kind of for show and not actually politically binding. Is that true?
Yeah, I think that's, you kind of nailed it. And a little bit of a, with adding a caveat of most, if not all the senators other than Bernie Sanders and maybe, I mean, Elizabeth Warren is progressive for sure, but most senators aren't as defund the police minded as some of our House Democrats are. And you can, mm-hmm. we can all agree with that, right? Like the squad, for example, they aren't senators, right? They're House members. And so the Senate, for the most part, has been very much like, no, like we don't believe in, again, we're not talking about defunding the police in the sense of like, let's have a conversation about funds and police and budgets, right? We're talking about a quote unquote defund the police, right? Brand that is, that exists as a talking point for a political movement. Okay. And so that movement does not play very well with certain voters. And a lot of the senators tend to be pretty moderate because they are trying to get an entire state to vote for them versus a congressional district, right? Which is much, you know, smaller. And so the messaging from them has been very pro-police budgets, but accountability, reform, et cetera, right? But at no point in time, I don't think Republican or Democrat, sorry, and in particular Joe Biden, for sure, has never once said that he believes in defunding the police. So this was a gift to these senators and Joe Biden as well to go on record, really, and to say we don't believe in defunding the police. And if they even do believe in defunding the police, they could still vote this way, like you said, Casey, and it's non-binding. It means nothing. And then we were talking a bit earlier, and I have kind of learned a bit of stuff that's made me realize that I am also hesitant on the notion of defunding the police, because I'm more on the thing of like making the police better, because we do need police in some way. And I think we both, I think we actually all agree on that, that we do need some sort, some form of police type thing. But the idea of defunding the police is political suicide for grand party politics versus the micro politics of congressional districts. So it is political suicide. And Tommy Tuberville just gave a lifeline to Democrats on that. Senate Democrats.
So, yeah. And just to add to what you just said, so from what I'm reading, it's considered non-binding because a budget resolution is only a blueprint for the actual budget bill. And these events, these voteramas, which is a silly word, they're often used to craft campaign ads. And so it seems like this is, yeah, exactly what you're just saying. It's kind of a lot for buzzwords and for senators to look to kind of catch other senators saying things so that they can use it against them in their campaigning ads as they come up for re-election. And so really,
I think that this to me frustrates me so much, like that these things are like not even like the context of what they're talking about, because I am very much like a little like I understand what you're saying, Zach, and I get it. But I also think too that like we are interested in these things, right? So we look these things up and we understand the nuances and the things that they're doing. But people who are one skeptical of the government, can you imagine what Alaska would think about this? Like she would be like, this is such trash. Everyone is corrupt because this is the kind of shady shit that makes people be like, well, then what are they doing? If this whole big old vote is just so they can, you know, catch little slimy clips and throw them into political ads, like there are people starving. There are people getting evicted. There are so many other issues that they really need to be voting on and really need to be working on. And what are they doing? This is what we're wasting our time on? These little voteramas? That's what I see in this whole situation, especially if this vote is non-binding and it doesn't really do anything. We're now trying to walk away from defund the police because the snappy slogan doesn't work for some people. But, like, it's been, like, what? What is happening? I am so frustrated to know that it actually frustrates me more to know that it's a non-binding vote. Like what, there are so many things that you guys need to be doing. Politics in this country is so broken.
Yeah. And like, I mean, it's like trash, much like the police.
They have, yeah, like you have the power to help. You have the power to fix. You have the power to do all these things. And what do? Like you sit around and you vote on these stupid things that these things matter, right? But like this vote doesn't matter because it's non-binding. The police, what do? They could be, you know, out solving crimes. What do? They like pull over someone for running a stop sign. Like,
yeah,
it's like the priorities are so fucked and it makes me so mad.
Yeah. And I mean, if the whole point is to get rid of the language of defund the police, because that really seems like what they're fighting. Like, it seems like
the specific term
defund the police has become something that has less of a meaning and more of a feeling for the Republican Party. And so mm-hmm. they use it against Democrats who now cannot use the word because they know how upsetting it is to people. So even if, which once again, we have said it a million times, if you haven't watched our Defund the Police video or series, go watch it, because I feel like we've talked about this ad nauseum, because we also recognize how important the rhetoric has become and how damaging it can be. But saying deform the police does not mean abolish the police. Now, there are people who would like to abolish the police. That is a different thing. Mm-hmm. But defunding the police is usually taking funds away and reallocating them to other places, which could help, kind of like what Zach is saying, which could help the police run better, run more efficiently. And that is a part of that new training. Absolutely. And I think to me, you kind of have to gut the whole thing and start over personally. So maybe I'm like kind of it's not an abolish, because I do think that we do need some form of law enforcement around. If you're in trouble, you do want to know who you can call. But at this point, if I'm in trouble, mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable calling the police. not as it stands now. You know, right. Alaska had a situation not too long ago, which Alaska, I hope you don't mind me, I'll be vague about the story, but she essentially stopped this woman from calling the police on this black guy because she was like, hey, that's a much bigger thing that you're doing. Like, please don't do that. He is walking mm-hmm. away. Nobody has been hurt. He's honestly just trying to do his job. Please don't call the police. And that's what it's come to, you know, is like us cautioning people yeah. against calling the police. And that is a system that doesn't work. So when I say defund the police, I mean that this current system, which I can't trust, we need to take some funds away from that. Let's restructure a budget that allows for, yes, new training, but also new hires and also other sectors of the department that deal with like nonviolent crimes and social work and things like that. It's a complete restructuring that I think needs to be done. And so it is a mm-hmm. little heartening to say, for me to be like, okay, great. At least our politicians who are hopefully working to make something like what I'm describing a reality can get around the harmful language of defund the police and actually do the work. Now, Paige, I agree with you, though, that the fact that's necessary, the fact that they have to put on a fucking dog and pony show to make that happen shows that our entire government is broken. And that will lead me once again into like, we need a new constitution. That whole thing needs to be gutted and fleshed out anyway. Yeah. I find this as frustrating and silly as the filibuster, as us being like, so wait, so it does what? And why do we do that? And we don't even actually have to do it?
Wait, it does wait, nothing?
We just, got it. We just kind of have to say it?
Right, right.
And as long as they think we're going to do it, that works too, unless they actually make you do it, and then you really got to do it. Like, it's just, it's so ridiculous the way that our government works. It's amazing to me that it has stood for as long as it has in the way that it functions. It's crazy. Sorry, I just said a lot of words.
I actually completely agree. Completely agree. No, that was beautiful, and that was great. I'm frustrated.
Yeah,
I'm very frustrated by that.
Now,
like, but just by the whole thing.
Yeah, because it's dumb. But but the question I have, Wiz, did you have something to say before I ask this question?
No, ask the question. I think you've nailed it so far. I think that what you've just said is a nuanced, very educated, very thoughtful opinion of this whole entire conversation that gets hijacked by the phrase defund the police. And that becomes a non-starter. Yeah. So the conversation you just had, that was perfect, but it is not allowed to be said in a forum that I think most people would agree. Most people, including white folk who voted for Trump, would agree with what you just said about just, you didn't make any statement that wasn't, you know, based on the truth. And I think we do need to have more places to call for different things, not just a, not, you know, the police need to have, the police should be solving crimes.
Violent crimes, yes.
Yeah, violent crimes. Violent crimes.
We should have other people to call for a disturbance that's nonviolent, that needs a social worker, an arbitrator for truth, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That can intervene in something that's not just the police. Like, think about this. Police officers and firefighters, they respond to a lot of medical calls.
Yeah.
They do, because they go, well, who are you going to call? 911. Someone needs help.
Yeah.
like we don't, there shouldn't there be like a, you know, more specific thing for calling for certain things that could exist other than just like a general 100%. Number that is like just the SOS number. And so I think that that's really true. And that would require funding for that thing, but also make us all safer, because people who have been, had bad experiences with certain types of services like the police would feel comfortable calling that number and solving this problem versus never calling the police, which then could create more problems for that community. But they go, at least it wasn't the cops.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll let this crime happen more and more, or domestic violence will happen more and more. Who cares? It's better than the cops showing up and killing one of us or something. So what's not a good answer either.
In a really strange way, which I hate that this is true, but it is, in a really strange way, I understand the existence and the creation of gangs now more than I ever have. Because it does feel sometimes like if something happened, it feels like a lose-lose to me. And entire communities of color have felt that way for years. And that's where you get gangs from, because they're like, we can't call the cops, but I know such and such down the street will handle it, you know? And, you know, it's so awful. So, yes, it creates more problems if we don't feel like we have a system that we can trust. And so it just needs to be rebuilt. I think so. My question, though, was going to be the blocking of the Green New Deal. So, because that is something that really happened. That's not something that's non-binding, right? That's, they voted on something that does not allow the Green New Deal to happen. Is that correct? Am I misunderstanding that?
You know, I don't know. I got to look into that. But if the agreement, if what they signed was non-binding, then that also was non-binding. So I don't think that would have gotten 99 senators to vote on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
also, if we're going to talk about the Green New Deal, we should talk about the UN's most recent publication that we are, it's code red on climate change, y'all. Code red.
Yeah.
On how we need to fix this. Let me find the thing.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
What? The code red?
The end of Earth as we know it.
Listen.
You guys, I've been trying to prepare y'all for Mars for at least 2 months now. You know?
Yeah, Casey's not wrong.
I truly have. I'm not going to say I'm a prophet, but I don't know. Maybe it's time to get ready for Mars.
Maybe it's time to get ready for Mars. Listen, this sobering report found it unequivocal that human influence has warmed the atmosphere, ocean, and land, which we all knew.
Yeah.
But guess what? It says it's intensifying, it's occurring at an accelerated pace, and it's already affecting every region of the planet. We cannot afford to further delay. The science has been certain for decades, but the latest report makes it abundantly clear the climate crisis is not only here, it is growing increasingly severe. So, you know, also another reason Republicans are stupid, because they don't care.
Well, I've read some things about all this climate stuff, right? Like about like when will we actually care about it? And
when the Earth explodes.
The truth is that we still can, the very, very wealthy can still avoid most of the most dramatic parts of climate change, right? Let's say their Malibu home burns. They have a home in Colorado to go to, or they can get a hotel room in downtown LA, right? For 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a year until their house gets rebuilt. Until those groups of people who are the ones that fund most of politics around the world, right? They're financing politicians. Until they actually will see their bottom line get affected, there will be no change to behavior. That's the scary part. That's the sad part. That's the part that I'm most concerned about, because we need to make changes sooner than that. But we also need to be really realistic about what needs to change, right? It's like telling you,
right,
hey, person, take a shower for 1 minute. And hey, person, don't water your grass. And hey, person, you know, eat less of this and eat more of this. Like, okay, yeah, that's probably not a bad place to start, maybe. But that's also been like what all these companies have been doing their whole lives, is convincing us that we are the problem, the individual consumer. And you can make a difference by recycling this plastic, right, guys? And you can make a difference by doing this.
Right.
But the real perpetrators of climate change are giant, giant global corporations that are causing most of the carbon emissions, right? China and their coal power.
Absolutely.
Plants. I mean, these are way more important than any individual person who should ever feel guilty about what they're doing. Yet it's really hard and really scary to get China to get in line. Why? They will find you. They will arrest you. You have no idea what's going to happen. But they are, and other giant countries out there, right, are not pulling their part. But we can't make a damn difference unless they do something. So we have to kind of like also figure out how to get all of our climate activists to really find the real things to go after and not play like petty politics with like small stuff, and go and find the real perpetrators and go after them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that really will be what will change the course of our global, you know, warming issue, not necessarily the individual person and riding their bicycle to work once a week, just to be frank.
Oh, 100%. No, 100%. I've always felt like that. Like, I like, you know, we recycle. I do my part. I do what I can. But also, like, I know that I could live like completely waste free, and it's not going to do shit. It doesn't do anything, because I don't produce enough carbon emissions or anything like that as a single person. I saw this tweet. I was trying to find it, but somebody said like every person on the planet could literally like go green, not use straws, do whatever, like, you know, do the whole shebang. And there are still like 6 companies in the world that produce 70% of the carbon emissions, and it wouldn't do anything. Every person on the planet could do it. It wouldn't do anything. So like, again, these 6 billionaires are ruining the world. They're ruining it.
Yeah.
They're killing it.
Yeah, they are. And you know, what do we do about that? I don't really know if there's anything, but what I was reading just now kind of made me feel like everything that they did in this whole Votorama thing was really just trying to get around the rhetoric that has become damaging and still do what they want to do. Because, like, also the Green New Deal is one of those buzzwords as well that everybody, like, hops on and is like, blah, blah, blah. They want to make big government bigger, and that's all that is. They don't care about the climate. And so it seems like that's what they sound like to me.
You sounded just like them. That was actually really, it was like a good impression. Hi, I'm an actor. Hire me. It's fine. Thank you.
But I was actually reading some, like, a few articles that were saying that Biden's infrastructure bill that he just passed kind of covers a lot of what they were trying to accomplish in the Green New Deal anyway. You know, like, it's just like, under a different umbrella. So people didn't have the hoopla around it that the Green New Deal now has, which I find, if that's what the Democrats' new plan is, like if they had a big meeting and was like, okay, these are the phrases that are on the no-fly list, and this is how we're going to actually get them in. Like, we're just going to move things around a little bit and call them different things.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Good for y'all. 'Cause we needed something. Something had to shake. So hopefully, I haven't gotten to read into the infrastructure bill a lot. I don't know if either of you have, but hopefully there, because I know that he is implementing a lot of new energy saving, like cars and mass transit and things like that. I don't know if anything in there places any sort of onus on these companies that are creating this huge carbon emissions issue to like stop. I don't know if that's a part of it. But if it's not, then it should be. I hope that that's happening somewhere, that we're figuring that out somehow.
Yeah. Well, for part of this, the plan says that car companies, American car companies, have to make all of their cars electric, or half their cars electric, by 2030. But don't forget, California has already said that all new cars by some date, I had to look it up, I haven't looked it up, have to be electric. All of them. So who, California, biggest state population in the country, seventh or sixth largest GDP in the world. So when California says that all new cars sold in the state will be electric by a certain date, you better believe all these companies will change their manufacturing to electric vehicles. That was way before the country decided to do so, which Joe Biden did announce, I think 2030, that all American car companies must have 50% of their fleet be electric by 2030, which is only 9 years away. So it's pretty soon, which means that most will be converting way more before then. So also don't forget that the Green New Deal policies, right, which again can be picked off of, right? You can have many, that's a huge bill, the Green New Deal. You can, like you said, Casey, things can be pulled off that and put it into all sorts of stuff. There is a budget reconciliation package that has a lot more Green New Deal elements that a lot of House Dems are excited about, that hopefully they don't hold up this Senate-passed infrastructure bill to ensure they get the reconciliation package. They should really keep them separate so that Joe can win a bipartisan Senate agreement, because that is important to show that the government can work together. And then still with the majority in the House, even the majority in the House and the majority in the Senate, can still pass budget reconciliation on their own. That would be a huge win, considering that Trump tried for 4 years to convince America they had an actual policy for infrastructure. Remember that? Infrastructure week, which we know Republicans don't pass policy. They just create slogans.
It's like Shark Week. I love that he like just called it like Infrastructure Week, like it was going to be on Discovery Channel. Like, yeah. Infrastructure Week. Like, oh, I'm going to watch Shark Week next week and Infrastructure Week this week. Like,
what was he trying
doing?
To do to the, I feel like I didn't, I have dumped his entire presidency out of my.
No, he did nothing.
No.
He did nothing.
He had nothing to do.
Policy.
He was just
they
saying
don't create
he did.
Policy. They don't write bills. They only regurgitate their tax cuts from other, literally line by line from other administrations, their tax cut policies. That's it. That's all they work on. There is no like grand infrastructure plan they ever created. Of course not. They didn't develop anything or a healthcare. Remember, the healthcare plan's coming. It takes a lot of work to do that. And
oh yeah,
they had no time to do it because they don't know how to do it and they don't need to do it because nobody cared what they did with regard to those things, because the Democrats would do it anyway. And they did. They developed stuff and they were fighting to keep Obamacare and they were working on things behind the scenes. Now that we are in power, right? You see all sorts of bills get written, created, drafted, and voted on.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that happen. And the only plan that was passed was the COVID relief plans were all started by Democrats. Don't forget that, in the House. So the Senate, Republicans that ran the Senate and the House Republicans that were the minority, they never created any bit of policy for COVID relief. It was all by the Democrats.
If I also remember correctly, the Republicans didn't vote for them either. We won all of those like via tiebreakers with Kamala Harris.
Well, that was this year. But during the Trump era, they did pass.
Ew, you said his name so much.
I know you have said his name.
I just got to say his name because he's going to, you can't, it's this
No, you have to
say 45. You owe me a dollar.
I don't want to say 45. That means that that says that he was the president. He was the 45th president. I don't want to acknowledge that either.
That's fair. You know what?
Listen,
I accept that rebuttal.
Else.
But his name does really bother me. And we haven't had to talk about him in so long.
No, really. We really haven't.
Although he did actually call out the fact that he was like, hey, Biden's infrastructure bill is basically the Green New Deal. And I was like, shush, shush, shush. Don't start making sense now.
Shut up.
Don't start reading things. Who asked you to do that?
Don't start listening. Like, you stay.
Is that
your little weird
paying attention? Like, stop. Ew. It's weird.
Like, listen, excuse me. Get out of here. I hate that. I hate that he saw it.
Yeah. I know. I hate that he noticed it. Gross.
What else do we have? Is there any other crazy things happening?
Well, Cuomo resigned, so that's not
a
crazy thing.
Oh, it's a good thing.
But it's a good thing.
I'm glad he did, man.
Yeah. So who's,
really,
who's...
I thought he was really going to do it.
Who's up? Like, how does this work?
So his lieutenant governor, let me find her name. I saw a thing about her today. Her name is Kathy Hochul, H-O-C-H-U-L, not sure. She will be the first female governor of New York.
Woo.
And yeah, she was the lieutenant governor in 2014 and then won re-election with him in 2018. Yeah, so hopefully she's cool. I don't know anything about her.
I know nothing of her, but I'm happy that she's female, and I hope that she rocks.
Yeah, I saw a tweet or something that said, like, New York gets its first female governor in the most, like, American way of all time. Like,
truly.
Like, just the predecessor harassed women, so he resigned, so now there's a woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
That's
good. We're checking all the boxes. I just wanted to make sure.
Exactly it. Oh, I remember I had a question about this whole, so I always wonder when, so like Biden's thing says that everybody has to, the cars have to be electric cars,
yeah,
by 2030. The next election is in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So the next president very likely could just be like, well, never mind on that. Right?
Well, not if it's like been voted on into law, then it takes a lot more. So like the reason that 45 was such an interesting president was that he did a lot by executive order, which is silly because then Joe Biden came in and just undid all those executive orders. But if something has gone through the process of becoming a law, becoming voted on in the Senate, being put into practice from Congress, it's a lot harder to then just like come in and be like, we're not doing this. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Just like Obamacare.
So, yeah, exactly. Like, if that's why Obama did the healthcare the way that he did. He wanted it, like he could have executive ordered it, but he didn't because he's smart and he's like politically understands. So that it's stronger if it's a law. It's a lot harder to come back in and like do stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Because I'm terrified of 2024.
I'm horrified. I'm actually really scared for 2022, the midterms. I'm pressed.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'll be on Mars by 2024.
Yeah. You know, if the planet makes it, you know, to 2024, we don't even know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll.
But don't forget, California's law is for 2035. I just looked that up. So it doesn't make any sense for these car companies to like change course. For them, it's all about, they wouldn't do this, right? Joe wouldn't show up at a GM plant and make the statement without the full support of GM and all the automakers knowing that that's the future in general.
Yeah.
It's going to become also Europe, right? The EU may say the same thing, 2030, all cars. So like at some point you're just going to have to do it. So the federal government should, I think, absolutely help all car manufacturers in America try to get there as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. Because that is a very good way that we can all reduce our emissions, reduce our need in general on oil, which would mean that we don't need to drill pipelines. We don't need to fight wars in the Middle East as much, right? These are all very, very good things that are good for more than just having a fuel efficient vehicle.
Yeah.
So it's a huge win.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I won't even get into the quote unquote need to fight wars in the Middle East because that's just a whole.
There's not.
Kerfuffle.
Yeah. That's a whole other kerfuffle.
Yeah. And I don't feel like being kerfuffed. I can't even say kerfuffed today. You know, that's where I'm at, you guys.
Because we're just in like a perpetual kerfuffed state.
Truly, I am.
That's how I feel.
I am the personification of kerfuff.
Yeah,
that's who I am. Feel. Like my name tag is hello. My name is kerfuff. I was gonna.
She just wears a name tag in her own house
for no one to read. I mean,
for no one
speaking
to read.
About being in my own house. So yesterday I went outside, y'all, and it was weird. It was like the vibe was very pre-apocalypse out there. I'm like,
the vibes were off.
People are feeling the effects of the fraternity of COVID like hard. It felt super weird. I waited in a line to get a COVID test for 20 or 30 minutes. And this is a place that I've gone regularly throughout this past year where you can usually just drive up, park in the parking lot, somebody comes and does your test and you're out. Line wrapped around my neighborhood, like crazy. And I got up to the front and the woman was like, how long did you wait? And I was like, you know, about 15, 20 minutes. And she was like, oh, thank God. That means it's slowing down. And I was like, what? She was like, yeah, people earlier were waiting like an hour or two. It's bananas.
Oh my gosh.
It's scary.
It is bananas.
So get vaccinated, please. Please get vaccinated.
Yeah, please get vaccinated. Please get vaccinated. Also, if you're a California resident, there is a recall election coming up.
Yes, September 14th.
That is very important. And you have to vote in it. You have to vote. You have to vote in this recall election. They got enough signatures or whatever to try to recall Gavin Newsom as the governor, and they will replace him with a Republican, and that is not acceptable. So please vote in this recall. You have to like physically write in Gavin Newsom. You do not want the recall. Please do it. They're sending out ballots by August 14th, and it's due by the September 14th, which is Brenda's birthday.
It is B's birthday. So do it for B. Make the right choice.
Do it for B.
You have to vote no on the recall. So the recall, there's two questions. One is, do you want a recall? Yes or no? And the answer you want to put,
no.
If you want Gavin Newsom to be the governor, you say no. Then you can leave the next blank. Those are all the different candidates that are vying to be elected. Here's why the California recall system is so flagrantly bad, is that if you, as in the state, if the state votes for a recall, which requires 50% plus one vote, okay, over, then whomever of the 40 candidates gets the most percentage votes becomes governor. That could be 10% of the vote, and they're the governor. That could be 8% of the vote. It could be 5% of the vote because everyone else got 1%.
Is it kind of like rank choice?
Complete. No, it's the opposite of rank choice. It's whoever has the most against the other 40.
It's literally whoever gets the most.
If the recall says yes, then whomever people voted for in the second question becomes governor as long as they have the popular vote. There is no runoff. There is no, like, it won't be like that person goes against Newsom. It's that person is the governor right now.
So all we need to do is mark no.
Correct. You also have to choose
Gavin Newsom.
Gavin will not be on there. You have to write him in if you want to, which doesn't make sense. Instead, I got to look into this, you can look up some Democrat progressive like websites and figure out what they want you to do, because you could vote no, but then still vote for a Dem. So at least your vote counts towards, God forbid, as a yes recall, then at least you voted for a candidate. Otherwise, the Republicans will get whoever they wanted to vote for, because most Democrats won't even vote. And then you end up with some guy with 10% of the vote.
Well, I mean, Democrats vote. Like, come on, let's vote.
Vote.
But in general, people tend to like recalls because people vote less in them. People who are really upset will vote a lot. They're like, yeah, I'm going to vote in this. And a lot of people just don't vote. They don't care. Because they go, yeah, I'm fine. I don't care. I don't give a shit.
No,
you know?
No. We care. We care a bunch. We care a lot. And if you are registered to vote, then you should have gotten, or you will get, a wonderful text message or email when they mail your ballot to you. I was very excited about that. I got an email and a text this past weekend to be like, hey, your ballot's in the mail. If you don't get it, let us know. So that was great. So you're even getting reminders about this. Like, let's just do our jobs and vote no on the recall. If you want to write Gavin Newsom's name in, I don't know. That doesn't seem like it would be damaging at all.
Just extra protection, you know? Yeah. That's what I would do. I would just make sure.
Just like, just so that my protection. Position is clear, you know?
Yeah. It's clear I don't want this and I want him to stay. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. And we'll be reminding you about that as it continues to come up. I actually do want to do like a little short, one of our little short videos to post on our page about it. Cause it's very, very important. So we want to make sure that your voice is heard. If you don't want the recall, yes. If you're weird and listening
yeah,
to this,
so here's the thing. Recall, then, yeah. I'm reading this thing. So basically, yes, you can do what I just said, where you can vote no to keep Newsom, but then still vote for anyone you want in the second part. So I'm for sure going to vote for somebody in that. I'm not going to leave that blank. Are you kidding me? Hell no.
Yeah. Just in case the recall does win, you want
yeah.
your vote to count towards a Dem, but I hopefully yes. there's a space to write in Gavin Newsom.
Wait, but yeah. No, that means you're doing this. No, you don't want to do that.
Why?
That's because if you vote no, then you're already voting for Gavin Newsom. The second part is if there's a yes, if the yes is win, then you want to be voting for someone.
Oh, because Gavin Newsom will not be considered if there's a recall?
Yes, he's out.
Oh.
There is no.
I guess I don't understand why writing him in is a problem.
Okay. Because you're not going to get a ton of write-ins for Gavin. You're going to literally get people voting on that ballot sheet. So what you're saying, you're thinking, oh, well, if everyone just says no, then there's Gavin Newsom, we're going to win this thing. They're not doing that. I don't know if that's because you can't write him in, which is possible. Like, you literally are not able to vote for him in this. Like, there's no, it's either he's recalled or he's not. He's not on the ballot. So I'm fairly certain you can't. Oh, yeah. Any write-in votes for Newsom also won't be counted. So yeah, you can't write him in.
Got it.
Because he's being recalled. So you can't vote. He can't be on the ballot.
Okay. So we got to figure out a Democratic candidate that
you pick a Democratic candidate. Yes. I think that's the smarter move. Now, for some reason, the reason why Gavin Newsom and the team aren't being like, well, just in case, vote for this guy, is because then you end up with people voting, sure, on the recall, let's vote for this guy. Right? You don't want to confuse that. It's like, your vote for Newsom is a no vote. That's true. Or sorry, yeah. If you vote for Gavin Newsom, that means you're voting no. Make that very simple and clear. That's all you're doing. And then get out of there. But I still feel like I understand that and I can, you know, chew gum and walk at the same time.
Yeah.
And so can, you know, our listeners. So. And then he's running again in 2022. So a year from now, there'll be another election. So technically, if we end up with some douchebag, which we possibly could for a year, then Gavin can run again and hopefully win. But we have a whole year of some person who doesn't believe in science, who doesn't believe in anything except for winning elections and could fuck a lot of shit up for us.
Yeah, 100%. So vote in the recall, please, please, please.
Yeah. A yes vote is against Newsom. Second part. Sorry, I'm just reading about it too. This is, you guys, the world.
This is why recall elections are so devastating for the governor, because it's a really complicated thing. You don't really get it. And it doesn't allow for actual, like, a runoff. People don't realize that. So you end up with someone who's not the majority winning the election. So it's a huge gift to whomever is doing the recall.
Are there even any Democrats that are probably that you not. Can I don't think that they're from what
yeah there are a
saying.
Couple
okay well we'll see
not anyone just, good
yeah just do your research on it. If you're gonna vote for a person, do your research on who these people are, but definitely vote no on the recall,
or vote for the best Republican. Seriously. Yeah.
What an oxymoron.
I know that sounds crazy.
What an oxymoron.
But I know.
But no, that's what I'm saying. Do your research on the people.
If there's one really, really bad Republican and there's someone who's maybe a little bit better.
Yeah.
Make your voice heard. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do not lose your voice in this. And this is what recalls literally take away our voice, which is why it's really disturbing.
Yeah. Anything else happening in the world, you guys? Did we miss anything?
I think we covered it.
I think we covered the entire world.
Yeah, the world is a dumpster fire.
The world, all of the world
has been covered.
All of every bit of it.
Yes, so be encouraged, people. I do think there were silver linings to things that we did discuss. You know, it seems like the Democrats are, you know, learning how to play the game with the Republicans, even though it's silly. They're kind of, it seems like, figuring out a way around a lot of the silliness that they use in order to stop things. So that's positive, I guess. The infrastructure bill seems pretty positive, even though the world is on fire. And
we are positive that the world is ending.
Yeah, for sure. For sure that's happening. But before it does happen, make sure you vote no in the recall election.
And this has been Justice and Juice.
Let's end on something we love. We haven't done that one in a while. Tell me about something else you love.
I love coffee in the morning. It's so yummy, and it's such a good start to the day. That's what I love.
I love coffee too, and I agree with Paige, and I've upgraded my coffee bar, so next time y'all come over, I can make you guys flavored lattes and stuff.
Yes, wow. I love that. I love sharing an amazing meal with my friends. Like, give me a big long table and all of my people, and there is like really no happier place for me.
We did that.
We did. That was my birthday. That was literally my birthday, and it was the best gift ever. I really, really love that. So yeah, if you're out there, think about things that you love today, because there's enough things to be worried about in the world. Remember that there are things that you love as well. So that's been all for us today. Thank you for listening. And as usual, rate, subscribe, like, share, and comment.
Bam, 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 bam.
Bam, 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 bam. I miss you, Laska. Feel better.
Miss you last. Bye, y'all. Take care of yourself. Take your vitamin C.
Drink water, y'all.
I'll drink your water.
Everybody gets
sick. That's it.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.